You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
So the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you to kick the week off. It is officially week one of the college football season. We are going to take a trip back to week zero. I was at the KU game this weekend. Rob was also at the KU game this weekend. I will give you my impressions of their new stadium. And let me tell you, if you are a KU fan, you will absolutely love it. The vibes were high on Saturday in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll also talk about K-State. They got off to an 0-1 start, but the story for them is not on the field. It is off of the field. We'll talk a little Chiefs in this open. We'll also talk a little bit of Royals to get you ready for the week. Before we do any of that, let me remind you guys to listen to the show each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let me also remind you to tell one friend to check out the show. I would greatly appreciate it. I mean, if you told two people, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could just tell one person before Labor Day to check out the show, I would greatly appreciate it. And let me remind you that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place, with five locations around Kansas City, the perfect place to celebrate the return of football. So if you're looking for a place to stop by, grab yourself a drink, grab something to eat, and catch the games this weekend, I'm telling you right now, the best place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. We have never attempted what we are about to attempt. Usually, the open is about one thing. If I'm feeling really frisky, it can be about two things. I'm going to try to tackle all four of the biggest stories at one time in the open of the show. And you know what? I think we can do it. Why don't we start with the three-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs? Because I think it's the least thing to discuss, at least in terms of time and volume. I'm so happy the preseason is over. All I care about in preseason is the wheel of misfortune gonna land on you? We saw this offseason, this preseason portion, that wheel landed on the Los Angeles Chargers, as we've kind of seen in the years past. They lost their left tackle, Rashawn Slater. They're having to move pieces around and do this and do this to try to accommodate for the fact that their left tackle suffered a non-contact injury in training camp. That wheel did not land on the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I don't say this in any way to diminish Deion Bush, but if you were telling me from the end of July up until this team heads to Brazil, the only injury that they have suffered is a rotational safety, you came out great when we were talking about the preseason. Andy Reid reported that they have no additional injuries. For the first time, the Chiefs should have their full complements of weapons available when they head to Brazil. You have a healthy, viable offensive line. Isaiah Pacheco looks like he's bounced back in the running back of old. You have Kareem Hunt. I don't know if Elijah Mitchell is going to make the team. We'll talk more about that as the show progresses, but I actually think that he is in line to either get cut or they are going to bring a running back in and he is going to replace Elijah Mitchell. Again, we got more time to talk about the running back position, but you are going to have a healthy Rashee Rice, who caught a touchdown on Friday, a healthy Xavier Worthy. Hollywood Brown is healthy right now. For the first time in this entire, I guess, this era of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have never had their offense fully available. You've had one guy here, but another guy miss. If everything goes according to plan, and I don't know why it wouldn't between now and next Friday, I believe that we are going to see a fully healthy version of the Kansas City Chiefs, which in my opinion, they're the best team in the National Football League, if that is going to be the case. So we have got through the Chiefs portion of this thing. The offseason is over. They got cuts tomorrow. I'm sure they'll make some lower level roster moves, but for the most part, there should not be any Chiefs news between now and next Wednesday. It's quiet time. You get one last little vacation, go somewhere. Hey, it's over. Maybe we get some news when it comes to Rashee Rice, but I'm not expecting it. The offseason portion is now over for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's cut down to a 53-man roster. I think we all know who's making this team and who's not making this team, and it's going to be go time after Labor Day for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's talk about the Royals. I saw Rainey say this, and I thought it was the best description for the Royals. The Royals are good enough to keep your interest. They're good enough to compete for a full 162, but I'm just not sure if it's going to be enough to actually get them into the playoffs. Now, I'm not here to pull the plug. I'm not here to give up on the Kansas City Royals. I've told you guys probably for the last 2 weeks what my hope and expectation is for the Royals. I simply want the Royals to be in it or within striking distance when Seattle comes into town in about 3 weeks or so. I cannot think of many series in my lifetime where the Royals had the team that is directly ahead of them coming into Kauffman Stadium, and they're 2.5 games back, 3 games back, 2 games back. If that's the case, we are going to be talking about regular season games at Kauffman that just quite frankly, I don't remember. Maybe there was a time this happened in 2014. There certainly wasn't that time in 2015 because the Royals had kind of lapped everybody and it was clear that they were making the postseason. I can't think of too many series that late in the season that the Royals have that have ultimately mattered. Now, I don't want to make it seem like this weekend's result is the worst possible thing. It's also probably expected. The Royals have struggled against really good teams. They're on the road against maybe the best team in the American League. It's no shock that they lost that series. Now, here comes the hard part. They have to win both of these series this week. You cannot afford to lose a series to the Chicago White Sox. I don't care where that series is. It could be a Kauffman, Comiskey, U.S. Cellular, whatever they're calling that place now. I don't care if you played in front of Lake Michigan. You cannot lose a series to the Chicago White Sox, not when the stakes are this high. And then you come back this weekend, a holiday weekend. I imagine the crowds are going to be there. The crowds have always been there on the weekend for the Royals. This is an important one. It's a holiday weekend. I think the Royals are going to do 30,000, certainly on Friday and Saturday, and they should do well on Sunday with the holiday weekend. You got to figure out a way to take 2 out of 3 from the Detroit Tigers. So that's where I am with the Royals. I was talking to Denny earlier, and we'll play that conversation for you guys coming up at the top of the next hour. We're past the marathon conversation. It is a sprint. We're less than 40 games to go. Labor Day is next Monday. There is no tomorrow, to quote Apollo Creed. You got to take care of business today, and every single day you have to put yourself in a position where you can win 87 or more games. So we'll see what happens with the Royals in Chicago. But if there is one team that the Royals have proven that they can absolutely beat up on and pummel, it has been the Chicago White Sox. Let's talk about the Kansas Jayhawks. I will give Rob a chance to answer this. I certainly want to give him a chance as a KU season ticket holder and alum and lifelong fan from somebody who is the exact opposite of all of those things. Let me tell you, the new Kansas Stadium, or renewed or revisioned or whatever word they're using to describe it, it's A+. It's perfect for the kind of program that KU is. It's not an 80,000 seat cathedral. It's not one of those, but it feels very quaint. It feels like it is specially made for that city and that program. You could just feel the buzz and the atmosphere. I've been to certainly my share of KU games. I probably go to one, maybe two a year. I love to go to a KU 11 a.m. game. you know, there's not a lot of other good games. Hey, why don't you make the trip over to watch a little KU Oklahoma State? You can get back to Kansas City by 3. Maybe you don't miss anything from all the other games. It's a nice trip to go over there. Lawrence is a really nice place. I'm telling you, you could feel the buzz. You could feel the atmosphere. You could feel the energy. It was a plus. If you're a KU fan and maybe you couldn't go to the first one, I'm telling you right now, you will absolutely love the experience. And you could tell how much people love the new stadium. You also got an energy of the importance of a college football Saturday. I understand that Kansas is a different place and basketball is king. Basketball might mean there than it means more on any other campus in America. But to be in the middle of a college football Saturday where people are holding up the signs trying to get you to park in their yard and pay $60 to $100. You could smell the barbecue. They had food trucks. Everybody's around. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody is celebrating the return of college football and football also being back at Lawrence. It was a really fun experience. It was a really unique experience. I'm here to tell you that KU gets an A+. Bang up job for the stadium. And I'm excited to see how that stadium lights up when they just play more important games. Now, we will talk more about this as KU's season progresses. If their quarterback's going to play like this, they're going to be very, very difficult to beat in the Big 12. I remember I was at the game. I think this was 2 years ago, Rob. Tell me if I'm wrong. KU hosted a game against Illinois. And Jalen Daniels was incredible in that game. And I remember walking out of the stadium and thinking, he kind of reminds me of RG3. Like the way that he played, the way that he handled himself, the way that he moved, he reminded me of RG3. I didn't see that quarterback last year for Kansas. Not very often. I saw him on Saturday. He had a run in the first half, and I was actually standing on the sideline, so I saw it. He was kind of running the direction I was standing. And he got up and he motioned first down and away and was playing with such a confidence and swagger and emotion of somebody who has obviously done this before, but somebody who was finally healthy and ready to lead. I came away really impressed with Jalen Daniels on Saturday for how he performed. I came away really impressed with Kansas and how they played. And for a game that was 7-7 and you were kind of thinking, hey, this might be a good game. Maybe Fresno State can give them a game. It was not a game after that. KU made great plays. They dominated. The crowd fed off that energy. The team fed off of that energy. And it was an absolute beatdown the rest of the first half and into the second half where KU coasted to a pretty easy win. We'll talk more about this with John Kurtz coming up in a bit. John Kurtz covers K-State. I know we were laughing and joking about this last week and just having a little bit of fun because we were having the topic of, can you have a bad Ireland trip? This is a game that K-State fans have had circled for 2 years. You have been planning this trip. I can't imagine going to watch your favorite team, your college football team, play in Ireland. Can you have a bad trip? You're over there, you're drinking Guinness, you're drinking Heineken, you're seeing some of the great wonders of the world. It was bad. I mean, it was real bad. I don't know if you could really play worse offensively in the first half, three quarters than K-State did. They turned things around and certainly kind of picked up the tempo a little bit. Like, it got better for K-State. But then the off-the-field stuff. I'm not here to dive deep into the Johnson family dynamics. That's not my place. And we're talking about a college student. I don't care how much money he makes. We're talking about a college student. But of all the distractions that you can possibly have as, let's call him what he is, a millionaire college football quarterback. Of all the possible distractions that you could have and all the things that are pulling you in the direction, the fact that on the Sunday after a game, your pops and your brother got to release a statement that basically says we're all good tells you the trip couldn't have gone well. It couldn't have gone well. I'm sure Ireland was an amazing experience. The fact that right now circulating on the internet, there is a fight between the quarterback of K-State's dad and his older brother. And it's not like an argument or a pushing match. I'm talking about they on the ground, UFC, John Jones, Bones, brawl is embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. I don't know what else to say. It's embarrassing. So A+ weekend for KU, you got to give K-State an F. Like, I know it was a close game against a coin flip team, and sure, K-State can still win the Big 12. Iowa State's going to lose in conference. K-State's going to lose in conference. If we're talking about the day after and the days leading after the game that your quarterback's dad and brother got to release a statement because they got into a fight in the street and it went viral and they got videotaped, you get an F for the weekend. I'm sorry. You get an F for the weekend. Coming up in a little bit, John Kurtz is going to join us on the show. We'll talk about K-State and their performance. We'll get back to the Royals coming up in a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
Be an artist.
Be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back into the show. Coming up in about 10 minutes, John Kurtz is going to join us on the show. We'll talk about K-State's weekend in Ireland. They lose a heartbreaker. The Big 12, it's just going to be super competitive. Now, I think it's going to cannibalize each other more than likely, but I mean, losing a game against a team that you are probably going to need that tiebreaker with when it comes to Iowa State, a team that, if everything goes according to plan, is certainly going to be there at the end of the season, is not ideal. It's not ideal at all to do that if you're Kansas State. So I don't think that the Big 12 winner is just going to be 11-1 or 12-0. I think you're going to see Iowa State's going to drop a game to a BYU or drop a game like that. But losing a head-to-head game like that this early on in the season against one of those kind of teams, it just puts you at a disadvantage. So we'll talk to John Kurtz about that coming up in a bit. Preseason slash training camp is over for the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll take a couple of days off as they get ready to head to Brazil next week to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Rob, let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball, and then I want to give you a chance to talk about the new stadium for your Kansas Jayhawks. So Rainey tweeted this out yesterday, and I just think it sums up kind of where the Royals are for a little bit. Rainey tweeted out, "The Royals continue to be exactly as good as it takes to make us believe, and not one iota better." I'm not here to be negative and down on the Royals. Again, the Royals are still in it. And as long as the Royals are in it, we are going to cover them like a team that has a chance to make the postseason. It's kind of hard to argue with that sentiment. The Royals certainly have a chance. They need a lot of things to align and a lot of things to go correctly, but the Royals are right there. I'm looking at this week as there's not that many weeks left in the season. What are there? Five, maybe six, maybe my math is off just a little bit. You don't have a whole lot of time left. I think we all expected them to lose the series on the road against the Tigers. I mean, the Royals are 23-39 this season when playing a team that is .500 or better. So on the road against a team like the Tigers, I don't think you go into that series expecting to win. But now, you got the White Sox. You cannot afford to lose that series. If you could sweep them, even better. But you got to figure out a way to win two of these next three games, or the light that is the playoffs, it gets a little bit dimmer. And then next weekend at Kauffman Stadium, I don't care how, I don't care who is on the mound for either team. If you're in this thing and you want to continue to show us that you were in this thing, you got to figure out a way to win a series at home against the Detroit Tigers. There is little room for error. There is no room for excuses. It is simply go time. Go get it done, or play out the rest of the string and we all move on to football. That's kind of where we are right now with the Royals.
I feel like, and I was talking about this with Cody Tapp and Alex Gold earlier today, and Gold is of the impression that they'll stay in the race in a year. That doesn't mean that they're going to make the playoffs. They will stay in the race. I think that's the proper way to look at the Royals. There is going to be a time in September, like the 18th or 19th, where we on this show are still going to be talking about Royals baseball, not just because, oh, look, it's an afterthought and they got hot in September. Actual Royals conversation will be happening to the end of the season because they will remain in the race. But series like the Tiger series, I think it's fair to look at and say it gives you real reason to doubt they will overcome and make the postseason. You're right. It wasn't a must-win series, and losing the series to the Tigers isn't some nail in their coffin, but it would be good maybe for the fan sentiment, the fan peace of mind, if they went from 22-37 to suddenly they win a series or two against a winning team. And then you felt like, oh, not only are they going to go to the postseason, they might make some noise when in there. But right now they feel like if they get in, it'll get through the back door. And if they don't get in, we'll know the reason why. They had a chance to change the narrative a little bit this weekend, and they fell short. And I know they were close on Friday and Saturday, but in baseball, it's not, oh, you were close, so we give you the benefit of the doubt. You either do it or you don't. And right now, they've come up a little bit short. And it's just bad for, you know, public sentiment that has continued to happen.
Do you think it's possible to be hotter than Vinny Pasquantino is right now? The last 14 days for Vinny, they played 13 games. He has 8 home runs, 21 RBIs. He is hitting .320. Has an on-base percentage of .350 and an OPS of .1232. Do you think it's possible to be hotter than Vinny is right now? Because it is perfectly lined up with what the Royals need. You need him to continue that for the final 34, 35 games left remaining this season. Like, you need Vinny to continue to stay hot and continue to be a run producer and a guy that just brings in runs. I was talking to Denny about this earlier. We'll play that for you coming up at the top of the hour. I just asked him, hey, just tell me a little bit more about Vinny. What are you seeing? He said it quite simply. He's just a guy that can drive in runs. And the Royals, just in their organization, they don't have a whole lot of those guys. And when you're going to be behind a Bobby Witt Jr., you know what you desperately need? Somebody that can just drive in runs. And Vinny has shown you that. When he's been healthy, when he's been good, he has been a guy that quite simply can just drive in runs. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. Over the last 365 days for Vinny Pasquantino, 29 home runs, 93 RBIs. He's hitting .260 with a .320 on base percentage. You can live with that. You can live with that. That's what you need. You need more of that. You need more of that Vinny Pasquantino helping to carry you offensively. But right now, Rob, that's where I think we are with the Royals. This is a very, very important week for the Royals. And at this point, you cannot afford to lose ground, especially not at home and especially not to the Chicago White Sox, a team that you have pretty routinely pummeled over the last handful of years. I'm looking this up real quick because the Royals were actually lucky. You never want to lose a series over the weekend, but they lost series to the Tigers. The Mariners didn't gain a lot of ground, despite the fact the Mariners were playing the Athletics. Now this week, the Royals get the White Sox, who are bad. In the meantime, the Mariners get the Padres. The Padres are one of the best teams in baseball. Now, I am not really a schedule game type of person in baseball. I was 162, but when you're in the final 34, it's time to start playing the schedule game. And if you're a Royals fan, you go out, you win the White Sox series, you hope the Padres, who are probably more talented than the Mariners, go out and win their series, and suddenly you go from three back to two back, or maybe one back, or maybe the Red Sox and Yankees drop some games, so you're kind of in the thick of wild card two and wild card three race. Like, the Royals, the schedule was rough for them over the weekend, but now it's time to take advantage of a team that you just swept. No one's asking for a sweep, although that'd be great. You just swept this team. Go win and hope the Padres take care of business, and you could be in a really good situation come Friday with a Friday night series at home against the Tigers. It could be a really fun weekend at Kauffman Stadium.
All right, I know we got our guy John Kurtz coming up in a bit. Rob, I want to give you the space to talk about your alma mater. You guys did something pretty cool. I can't even hate. I wish that I could hate. I wish that I could come on here and throw a little shade at the new KU Stadium. The portion that is done is fantastic. Now, they're going to do the other side. The other side, I mean, it's still the old structure. It still feels a little bit outdated on that side. They were very specific. That's where the students are. There ain't no money over on that side. The money is on the other side. And I'm telling you, it's nice. The lights, the seats, the view, all of it is nice. The concourse, everything was A+. I really, really enjoyed the experience. But I'm coming at this. I'm an outsider. The next time I plan on stepping in that building, I plan on leaving with a dub because Missouri's going in there to hurt feelings next fall. I don't know if I'm going to be back in that building. Rob, you will be. What'd you think?
I was in absolute awe. And we had Michael Sway on the show Friday, and he said he had done the tour. And I remember the quote he used. He said, "It is perfect down to the little details." And that's how I felt. I am not a get in the stadium early person. I'm usually a, hey, get in there, national anthem. You know, team takes the field, let's football. I like to have a nice tailgate. That's how I get down. I was waiting at the gates because everything you had heard about the stadium was you have to see it to believe it, all the things. I walked around the new portion, which is, for those of you who are not KU fans, basically three quarters of the stadium. I walked around each concourse, the bottom level, the top level, the middle level. I was absolutely in awe. I have heard great things. It absolutely 110% lived up to the hype. It did, as you said, create actually a good game day experience. They won't have that Friday against Wagner, but there's no reason why with that stadium and an interesting football team and a crowd that shows that they care if there's a reason to go out there, they can't have a good crowd and a good environment for most of their conference games. And maybe for the first time in my life, Kansas has a true home field advantage, and it feels like what they have is unique to Kansas as opposed to cookie cutter in a college football 2K build a stadium vibes.
It just had a real atmosphere. Like, that's the one thing that I can't really undersell about how Saturday felt to be in attendance. You could feel it. You could feel the momentum. You could feel the buzz. You could feel the excitement from the people that were there. It's been a long time since KU has had a home football game. They didn't have a home football game at any point last season because of those renovations. So a lot of that's kind of pent up. I think KU actually ends up making a bowl game last year if they end up playing home games, but I understand why they didn't have a home game last season with the renovations and everything that were going on. So you could just get a sense that, man, people were just happy to be back. People were just excited to be back and to be in attendance and to see everything that comes associated with the first game of the college football season and also unveiling and opening up a new stadium. So it really was a cool experience to be there on Saturday as KU won their first game of the season against Fresno State. Coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by John Kurtz. He covers the Kansas State Wildcats. We'll talk more about their week zero game to kick off the season against Iowa State. John, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. You know, I was just reflecting here as I'm waiting on hold about how you always have me on when something bad happens. I don't know. Can I come on when K-State does something good? Like, is that a thing? Am I just a bad guy? Have I accepted that role now?
I mean, John, you would have been on whether they had won or lost the game. It's not my fault that they lost. We were going to have you on regardless.
I feel like it was like all basketball season. You know, they ripped off that winning streak. They beat Kansas. That's your favorite thing, seeing Kansas lose. I couldn't come on then. I had to come on when it was drama and Doug McDaniel stuff going on. I just feel like that's always my role here.
Okay, you know what? That's fine. If you want to talk about drama, let's just start with this. When was the last time that you got into a fight in the middle of the street?
Oh, that's brutal. I walked right into that one, didn't I? Yeah, that was not good. I have not. I'm sure this will be this will come as a surprise to no one, Carrington. I have not been in a fist fight in my life. That has not happened.
The whole thing about it is, I don't think this would be that big of a story if they had just got into a verbal altercation. I don't even know if it's that big of a deal if it's just like a single shove. You know, emotions happen. I mean, this was like an all-out brawl on the ground, had to be broken up. I mean, if you're somebody who believes in distractions, I don't know if there can be a bigger distraction than the quarterback's dad and brother got into a fight, not against the ops. They got into a fight with each other after a loss.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great. Not the best weekend, you know. I mean, K-State loses in a game that should have been a home game when, you know, close game, two pretty evenly matched teams. Sure would be nice to have a home crowd to help get you over the top there. Iowa State fans get to go take a sweet trip to Ireland, watch their team win, get arguably their toughest Big 12 game out of the way already. And then, after the game, you got to deal with all the drama that comes from that. I would say, at least as far as the distraction part of it goes, they did a nice job. I'm assuming a lot of this is the work of K-State's PR team, but they did a nice job getting that statement out there pretty fast to at least try to put as much cold water on it as you possibly can. But, you know, as we know in today's day and age, like, the video is what kills you. Like, there started being rumors spreading like an hour after the game that some kind of incident had happened, whether there was an arrest or not, which there was not, as it turns out. But, man, once the video gets out there, that's when it catches on like wildfire. Everybody's looking for clicks. Everybody's looking to spread it around everywhere. So you just saw every single little college football burner tweeting about that. And, yeah, I mean, you certainly could let it become a distraction. I think it'll be a real test of this team dealing with a tough loss. I mean, I will say Chris Klieman seemed like he was in a good mood at his press conference earlier today. Hopefully that's true for the rest of the team. Avery Johnson's a pretty mature guy. You know, I mean, say what you will about what's happened with him on the field. He handles himself really well off the field in interviews. Like, I don't imagine it will be too much of an issue with him, but it's not something that you want to deal with. You would certainly prefer not to.
Right now we're talking to John Kurtz. He is the host of the Three Mall podcast, talking about K-State and their weekend in Ireland. What went wrong for the offense the first three quarters of the game? And eventually in the fourth quarter, both offenses started to pick things up a little bit. What was the issue early on in the game? What changed late?
Well, yeah, this is what kills me about this. I saw everybody, all your SEC buddies, Carrington, getting their takes off there in the first half about, you know, this is what happens when you send the Big 12 over there to play this game or whatever. I mean, like, guys, let's all realize this is the first game of the season. It was being played overseas. The team showed up on Wednesday, right? Like, they're dealing with like a 6-hour time difference, probably just so many variables. You're playing a conference rival that knows you inside and out. These teams are very similar. They know each other inside and out. Then you throw in a rainstorm and they can barely keep the chalk, like the lines on the field for you to see anything. It's horrendous conditions. Like, what do you expect for the first game of the year when teams are breaking in everybody against somebody they know in horrible conditions? Yeah, you were going to get some sloppy football. Like, and then the second half, rain stopped and they started to figure some things out. And we got a really exciting football game with 31 points combined in the last 16 minutes, 24 points combined in the fourth quarter. And that doesn't include Iowa State basically scoring a touchdown there at the very end of the game. So I actually thought it's a pretty good football game between two teams that I think are relatively evenly matched. So that's a lot of it, man. I mean, go back and look at K-State's game at Houston last year. That was kind of the linchpin turning point game of the season. They were 7-1 before that. Seemed like that would be an easy win. And they played it in a downpour the entire game. And Avery Johnson threw a back-breaking interception. They were really struggling doing much of anything, throwing the ball. It just looked like in the first half, both quarterbacks, but especially Avery Johnson, were having a really hard time gripping the ball. I mean, you just – he couldn't get much on those throws, and then receivers obviously were having trouble catching it. I think that was, you know, compounding on both sides. Like, Iowa State had a lot of key drops. And, you know, I don't know what Iowa State was thinking from the one-yard line running a toss sweep in those conditions, but they tried it, and it didn't work, and it turned into a fumble. So shaking out the kinks, bad weather, bad conditions, having to kind of feel each other out against an opponent that's really similar that you played a bunch of times. I think, to me, that's basically what you got there.
Right now we're talking to John Kurtz, going back over the K-State game from this weekend. John, I'm a big believer that football games are usually determined by 5 to 8 plays that happen throughout the game. Like, there's those pivotal moments where if you make the play or miss the play, it determines whether or not you win or lose. Can you really boil this game down to fourth down conversions? One team was better at fourth down than the other team?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that's exactly where I would put it. Like, to me, the big picture takeaway from this game to me is that K-State looked a lot like they did last year to me, where relative to the rest of the Big 12, they've got plenty of talent. I think they're a good team with a lot of athleticism. I don't know that they have enough of an edge to make the plays like that when they really need to. And Iowa State has that. You know, we could debate who's the more talented team. I think K-State is probably a little more athletic than Iowa State is. But Iowa State's got some grinders, man. They're a little grittier, and they've got an edge, and they make those plays when it really counts. Even the quarterbacks, if you look at the two quarterbacks, and I know Avery Johnson took a lot of crap in the first half. I think some of that is because, like, it's not his fault, but the hype for him has been so high each of the last 2 years. But by the end of the game, the guy had a great line. And if you look at any metric, he outplayed Rocco Becht. I was just going through and looking at this. If you go by NFL passer rating, Avery Johnson was 117, Rocco Becht was 94. 117, if you look on the grading scale of that, is an excellent performance. Pro Football Focus, Avery Johnson was an 85, Rocco Becht was a 69. You'll look through the stats on the traditional stats guy. Avery had almost 100 yards more passing. He had 20% higher completion percentage. They were even in touchdowns and interceptions. But when Avery Johnson has a fourth and short and he's trying to run for it, he's just a little timid and he gets knocked back. And say what you will about the spot, I think it was a bad spot, but then you got to leave no doubt there. And he didn't. Very similar position, Rocco Becht in a 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter is running like an option play, and all Big 12 safety VJ Payne crashes down on him. Rocco Becht lowers his shoulder, dives forward, and gets the first down by like a yard and a half, 2 yards. So that's kind of your difference right now. There was a 3rd-and-short. Avery Johnson had a tight end in the flat where he kind of threw it behind him, didn't allow him to like run and get the first down, didn't lead him. They didn't get the 4th-and-short. Rocco Becht has the 4th-and-3 at the end of the game. Guy in the flat hits him right in stride. Carson Hansen ices the game. Like, that's kind of the difference there, is Iowa State made those plays. I think they have a team that is more apt to do that right now, and that's kind of why Iowa State is really – it's tough to argue with 5 of the last 6 that they've beaten K-State. They've kind of surpassed them as a program right now, and I think it's basically on that. I don't think they're more talented.
I'll get you out of here with this. We're up against it. This is obviously one of those kind of coin flip games that you need in the Big 12. Still, obviously, a lot of football to go. This one game does not define on whether or not you're going to win this league, but now you probably got to steal one somewhere else. What game in conference play now becomes even more important that K-State has to win because they lost to Iowa State?
I would for sure point to Baylor. So what's going to happen now is you've had 3 straight years of K-State with a lot of hype coming off the Big 12 championship. They've been the preseason favorite or one of the preseason favorites each of the last 3 years. Now they're going to fade. Everybody just watched them lose on a national stage. They're going to be forgotten about for a while. They're going to play North Dakota Army and then go to Arizona on a Friday night. They're not going to be in the public conscience when it comes to teams that are contending. What happens then after that, a month from now, when you go to Waco? I think Baylor's going to play for a Big 12 championship. I'm really high on Baylor. I think they're one of the prime contenders. That's going to be a very, very difficult game and one that I had penciled in as a loss before the season. But now, I mean, you have no room for error. Like, you can probably, I guess you could drop one the rest of the way and probably still be in contention for a Big 12 championship, but that's about it. I think that Baylor game is going to be huge, and that's what I'll look for. If they get the next 3, which they should, but if they do rebound to do that, you got to go prove it in Waco that you can win that one.
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show today. You know what? The next time we'll have you on the show will be after the Arizona win. How about that? Let's go ahead and pencil that, because I'm telling you right now, if you come on the show after North Dakota or Army, it will not be because of good news. It will be because something went terribly wrong, if that's the case.
If they lose to Army, dude, I'm refusing to come on the show. I will not. I'm going to just say that right now. Rob, don't call me. Lose the number if they lose to Army, okay?
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. John, we appreciate you.
All right, take care, boys.
Absolutely. That's John Kurtz joining us on the show. Coming up on the other side, if you thought the K-State weekend was bad, the weekend that the Sanders family have, I'm not sure if it was much better. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We'll catch up with Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, coming up at the top of the hour. But the preseason is over. Every team in the NFL, they have to have their roster down to 53 by tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So let's get to some of the top stories as the preseason is wrapped up and we're waiting to see how the 53-man roster shake. I remember a coach told me this a long time ago, that coaches don't cut players. Players usually cut themselves by something. Not playing hard enough, not giving enough effort, not being a good enough teammate. Whatever it is, usually why you didn't make the team is your fault. Now, Shiloh Sanders, he's not the one we spend a lot of time talking about. We spend a lot of time talking about his pops. We spend a lot of time talking about his younger brother. We don't really spend a lot of time talking about him. But he's a decent player, undrafted guy, but getting a shot in the National Football League. He's on the field. Every rep matters. When you are an undrafted player, your margin for zero or your margin for error is zero. Nada. You cannot mess up. They are looking for reasons to replace you. This man punched somebody during the game. During the game, just hauls off, punches a tight end for the Buffalo Bills. Man, they cut him before he went to the showers. I'm serious. Instantly. You're done. You can't operate that way when you were on the margins. Travis Kelce last year, remember when he was just punching people? He punched like 2-3 people in training camp. You can do that when you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. When you're an undrafted rookie who's third and fourth on the depth chart and every rep, everything you do matters, you can't be out here willy-nilly just punching folks. I mean, just nonsensical. My brother, come on now. You got to tighten up, man. It's that simple. This doesn't have to be the end. I do think Shiloh lands on somebody's practice squad. I think he gets another opportunity. But my brother, come on now. It's nonsense. You know you can't do that. That's silly. All right? You know that. Let's talk about his brother. I don't know why we do this with people. I don't know why Shadur makes people so crazy. I don't know why we have wrapped up all of this conversation to a good college quarterback. I at least understood it with Tebow. I did. Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. Tim Tebow was one of the five best and most accomplished college football players that we had ever seen. It also became much bigger than that. It became religion and race and all these other things. Like, I at least get why Tebow made people feel the way that they felt. I don't get it with Shadur. I really don't. I think Shadur is the prototypical mid-round draft pick. And we all are at fault. All of us. From Mel Kiper all the way down to me, to you. Everybody is a suspect and culpable in this entire thing. We've all been ridiculous. We saw in one preseason, we saw why he is an NFL quarterback. Raw, underdeveloped, but you cannot deny against Carolina, he played well. You can say it was against second and third strings. I mean, that's what preseason is. He played well. He deserved another shot at getting more time, more reps, more opportunities. He got that this past weekend. He was terrible. He was 3-for-6 for 17 yards passing. He took 5 sacks. If you were going off total yards, he was a negative. Like we're talking basketball plus minus. He was a negative in yardage. That's why teams passed on him. Some of the conversation I've heard over the last couple of days is just nonsense. You want me to think, I'm serious, you want me to think that there is a capable NFL quarterback out there who's 22 years old, and you want me to believe that the league conspired to keep that guy out of the league to make a point? That's what people are trying to convince me. You want me to think that the team that actually drafted him, all these other teams didn't draft Shadur. You want me to think the team that actually drafted him now wants to sabotage that player. What's going on here? Are we listening to ourselves? We can't be that bored in August. I know we all want football to be back. It's right there. We can't be this hard up for content talking about Shadur this way. It's nonsense. Some of the talking points and back and forth around Shadur are nonsense. He is a mid-round pick prospect. It might work. It might not work. But we saw in one preseason why he can be an NFL quarterback. We also saw how remove the watch, remove the SoundCloud page, remove who his pops is. At some point, you got to put those pads on and you got to stand in between the white lines. And I think we saw why some teams were like, nah, we're good. You can't see based on what we just saw why teams would just, based on the football player that he is, just say, no thanks. This game is about getting the ball in your hands. Quick, move, quick. He doesn't move quick. He's not super athletic. He doesn't have great arm strength. So if you don't have great arm strength and you hold on to the ball too long, that's a bad combination, which leads you to fall down draft boards and teams to pass on you. So I know things didn't go great this weekend for Avery Johnson and his family. I know they didn't go well. It could have been way worse. It could have been way worse. You could have been the Sanders family. They had an even worse weekend than what we're talking about. We'll get to Denny Matthews coming up in just a bit, but I want to play this for you and remind you that it always works itself out. Terry McLaurin, he just signed a new contract in Washington.
Tom Pelissero here with some breaking news into the NFL Network newsroom. Terry McLaurin and the Commanders have a deal. The two-time Pro Bowl wide receiver and Washington agreeing to terms today on a three-year contract extension that is worth up to $96 million. McLaurin gets a $30 million signing bonus, a significant raise from the roughly $19 million that he would have been due in the last year of his existing contract, and with upside in incentives, he can earn over $96 million in new money, which is one of the biggest totals ever for a 30-year-old wide receiver. So after a lengthy hold-in that was influenced at least somewhat by a lingering ankle injury, McLaurin now has not only begun the ramp-up period to be back onto the field, but now has a deal. He will remain a Washington Commander, one of the locker room leaders on that team, and one of the most consistent wide receivers in the NFL, Terry McLaurin, staying in Washington on a three-year extension worth up to $96 million.
I know sometimes that you guys get mad at players. Well, you signed the contract. You got to show up. I get it. I mean, I want them at practice, too. It's the best thing for everybody. What's that saying about the squeaky wheel? Like, sometimes acting this way is the only way to get what you want. Terry McLaurin wanted a new deal. Guess what? He's now the sixth highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League. James Cook was mad and unhappy all offseason. He then got the money he wanted from the Buffalo Bills. Now, everybody can't do this, but for the most part, pouting, complaining, voicing your concerns as a very talented player who is very important to the winning for your team usually gets you paid. Sometimes just sitting back and letting your agent handle it and not saying nothing, sometimes that ain't the best course of action of taking care of yourself and your family and your peoples and making sure that your money is right. So congratulations to Terry McLaurin. Again, he is now the sixth highest paid wide receiver in the league. The only wide receivers who make more on a yearly average than him are Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. You did that. Congratulations. You set. You deserved it. I mean, I wouldn't pay you like a top 10 guy, but I understand that business is business. And if you're Washington and you're trying to get to the Super Bowl this year, you could not do it without Terry McLaurin. You know what that is? Leverage. And you use that leverage to go get paid, just like Terry McLaurin got paid. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.